If you enjoy listening to adventure stories, then you should visit thedihedral.com. You will find stories from other members of the community and read about climbing, life, and the outdoors. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Let's connect and climb on!
Climb on!
Hey guys, I'm host Kaysen, and welcome to the Dihedral Podcast.
I'm High Clip.
I'm Carrot.
And I'm Gaia. And before we start, I just wanted to clarify, we're doing this session, which is different to what we've done before, because some people have requested a team or meet the team sort of podcast episode, just to get to know us better. And I think we thought it would be fun. So welcome.
So basically, we're going to be answering some questions that Carrot has compiled for us from you guys. Some things that maybe you wanted to know about us. And I'm pretty sure Carrot maybe just inserted a couple in there that he wanted to talk.
Maybe one or two. Just to fill in.
The first one I was wondering, this one came in from Instagram. Can you guys talk about why you think Carrot is so cool? I'm just joking. That's not one of the questions.
No, actually, no one answered that question.
The first real question I wanted to talk about is actually a question I used to ask people a lot, but I think the answer is pretty interesting. So the first question that came in was, why do you like climbing? Gaia, what do you think?
Oh, goodness. Are you putting me on the spot right here?
You're on the spot.
Well, this is a podcast where you talk.
Okay. So what do I like about climbing? I don't want to be generic with the answer, but at least on my end, I started climbing in a time where I was going through a rough moment in time, and I started meditating and everything. So I think that was an activity that emulated it in a way, because you're with the wall and then you're just focused on your breath sometimes, because sometimes you forget, or at least I do. But you're just connected with yourself and that activity that you're doing in the moment. So it was a way for me to also disconnect with everything and be mentally and physically active. So that's what I like about it. I'm sorry. I'm drunk already. No, I'm kidding. Okay. No, you go. High clip.
High clip.
I can do that.
I love climbing for a lot of reasons, but the main two things for me are definitely mental aspect and physical aspect. I play a lot of sports, and I've always been like a really athletic kind of person, but one thing that like a lot of sports don't offer that climbing does is like this mental like game where you just have to work things through your head, and then you also have to like get over fears and like believe in yourself, and it's just so much more than just like blindly following a ball, you know what I mean? So that's, I feel like, why climbing is so great. And also, like, I love climbing.
No offense to people that
the community. Yeah, you really can't beat the climbing community. I mean, that's just a fact. So I love that.
Can you describe the sport that you played where you were blindly following a ball? That sounds interesting.
Okay. I'm not sure about blindly, but one might say, you know, without much thought. For example, soccer, basketball, lacrosse, to name a few.
Get called out if you play one of those.
They're great sports, okay, but like climbing is number one, and that's just not
clearly
debatable
just
right now.
Yeah. Well, at least for you, because you transitioned, you've played all of these different sports, and then
you chose
climbing over those. I'm not saying that you don't do the other ones or practice the other ones. That's how you say it. Yeah.
Exactly.
All right.
Kaysen, what do you like about climbing?
So I started rock climbing when a good friend of mine brought me to the gym for the first time, and I was like really struggling hard to get up a 5'9", like fell like three times like halfway up on the auto blaze, and you know, whenever I fail a couple times at something, I get pretty pissed off. And so I was like, oh, I'm coming back next time and I'm gonna get that 5'9". And I came back and got it on the first try, and I think from then I was like hooked. I wasn't gonna quit. And so I think my favorite part about it is that it's really good sport for people who like to push themselves, because if you can find a grade that like is right in that, you know, perfect zone for you, you're going to climb that thing to the point of exhaustion. I think in a lot of sports, they might make you tired, but you never really know when you hit that point of exhaustion. Like you can kind of like keep going, but in climbing, it's like when you fall, it's because you couldn't do that move. I mean, that's the only reason. And so I think it's kind of the perfect like challenge for yourself, and you can kind of visually see that challenge and like where you need to get past, I guess. guess, for the next part.
No, that's a great point. Interestingly enough, not to name drop, but we were hanging out with Ethan Pringle last weekend, and he said the exact same thing about climbing specifically. When you climb until you fall, you know that you've given it your all. You're not just going to give it kind of a half-ass effort and then fall. When you fall, it's because you have nothing left to give, and so I can see how that's a huge motivation for all of us.
And I completely ripped that from Ethan Pringle.
Hi, Cliff. How did you start climbing?
So actually, I had moved to a different state, and I joined the swim team, and I didn't really have any friends at first because I didn't know anybody. But then this one girl on the swim team was like, hey, like, you want to come climb with me? I'm on the youth team at our local gym. And I was like, I mean, I guess I'll try it. And then love at first sight, you know, like I couldn't stop doing it. I kept coming in, like, using our guest passes every month. And then I was like, you know what, like, it's really time to get into it. Got my membership, you know, like, that's like the real time, I feel like, when you actually start climbing, you know, like when you finally like invest for the membership, you know. So that's kind of how I got started. I don't know how my swim coaches felt about it, but I know that climbing was definitely the right choice.
I really like how there's like a visual theme coming in with your stories. We got blind sports, and then we got love at first sight for climbing. I really like that analogy. That metaphor works for me. Gaia, how did you start?
How did I start climbing? I think it was a friend who recommended it, but it was mostly because of my son, T, that he's not here today, but I mean, he is here with us in this world, but he's not here in the session today. Oh my goodness, my baby. But he climbs everything. So this person said, why don't you introduce him to rock climbing? And I said, okay, that sounds fun. He loved it. And then I was kind of hooked. I used to do trail running a lot when I was back in Venezuela. So I was already exposed to extreme sports and that mental aspect of a discipline. So when I saw climbing, I said, hell yeah, I want to try this, because it reminded me a little bit of, oh, that mental struggle, which for all the odd reasons I loved. And I started trying it, and I loved it. The only thing is that for me, it was, and it still is, very challenging, because I had a two-year-old. So it was not like, oh, just stay here while I figure out some better. You know what I mean? I went to climb so T could climb. And then every once in a while, whenever some of the friends, and going back to what Heikle said, like the amazing rock climbing community and all around the outdoor communities, I believe, or the experience that I've had, it's amazing. So they were like, oh, I'll take care of him, you can go and figure this out for a while. So it's been like that. My experience climbing has been like that, but I really like it. It's very rewarding.
So like, with your little kiddo, with T, who's kind of running around while you're climbing and also climbing, you know, he not only climbs the routes that we're climbing, he also likes to scamper around and fine climbs off to the side. And mm-hmm. and like, watching you, I see the struggle between, do I let him, you know, find who he is, like, and do adventurous things and do things that might be a little dangerous for a kid of his age, and let him find those boundaries, like, let him find his own boundaries? Or do I, like, be the mom and like, no, you can't, like, you know? So what is that like for you, and how does that affect your view of climbing as a sport?
I'm terrified all the time, but with everything, I think there's an inherent risk that comes along with exploring outdoors, and there's so much that we can avoid, and that happens to even the most experienced of climbers. You see or you hear stories of like, oh, this happened, and it's because there's a part of it that you're being exposed, and we all know it, and we acknowledge it. Oh crap. But with T, yes, I mean, I'm a single mom. So to me, it was always like, okay, or I've been a single mom for a while. I was a single mom for a while. But to me, it was like, okay, I want to raise a very secure, confident human being. And nature has helped in the process, because I said, okay, if I show that I'm afraid for him, probably he's going to start doubting about himself. But if I show that I trust him without certain boundaries, then he'll learn some limits. And it was not like this right away. It's been a process that we've paved the way. I actually wrote a post about it in the blog. I think it's called I Hold Your Hand or something along this line. I don't remember the title, because I've written about that a lot. But it's more like, okay, little by little, we have paved the way. And now he even knows how far he can go. And I still, my heart keeps a beat, but also I have all of you who whenever we go outside, and I actually talked about this the other day with a friend, and I was like, it's so great because I know that if I turn around, because things like this happen in a split second, I turn around to do something, I know someone else is looking at him.
Yeah.
So that's also great of having that community. And sometimes some people praise the way that I raise him or criticize the way that I raise him because they say like I'm endangering him or something along these lines. And I know everyone does things differently, but it has helped us. And I also want him to be involved with nature. And I feel that's a way to learn how to respect and how to appreciate the world and everything. So
yeah.
He's only six. We'll see. We'll see what happens moving forward. But so far, so good.
At the last climbing trip that we kind of all went on as a group, T was there and he was doing some of the climbs that we were doing. And he got to about three quarters up one of the climbs and saw a spider. And he flipped his shit. I mean, he flipped out. And, you know, Carrot was trying to pull him up past the spider and he got pulled up at like 5 feet and there was another spider. And he was just freaking out. And, you know, it's yet to be proven how many spiders there actually were. But what I think is so interesting about that, and Carrot and I were kind of talking about it afterwards, that it's like it's almost, you almost forget that he's just a kid because he's so mature and quiet and he just kind of hangs out and watches and soaks in things. But it's so interesting to watch him climb, and you really do forget that he is just five or six.
But the other funny thing that you're saying, now that I was there, obviously, but now that you're explaining it, I visualize it. And I was like, it's so funny because he's not afraid of like, yeah, tie me to this rope and put me all the way up. But he sees a daddy long legs. And it scares the crap out of him.
Yeah.
I was like, all righty then. But I think it's also because, I mean, not saying that we get scared for like about daddy long legs or anything. We just grab them and put them on the side. But he's never seen us necessarily experience with one, but he has seen us climb and everything, so he says, I know this is, we're good,
yeah,
I can do this. Whereas he sees a spider, is like, holy shit, what do I do with this? No, it's gonna eat me.
No, that's really interesting. And you mentioned a minute ago, and maybe if you only listen to the blog, you might not realize that we have listen to the podcast, you might not realize that we also write for a blog called thedihedral.com. And Guy is referring to a post that she wrote, and there was an accompanying video. And in that video, you see Kaysen in the water. We were deep water soloing, and T was about to do a cliff jump from, I don't know, 15, 20 feet. I'm not sure how high it was, but you
don't
also
specify,
see,
so people don't come harass.
Yeah, you see me on one end. You see a couple of our other friends at the other end. And so he is doing things that some people might consider to be dangerous, but we're all there not only to support him, but to support each other. And I think that's really important. So, yeah, check out the blog. Watch some of the videos. It's actually a pretty good video.
Yeah, and let us know what you think. I mean, I'm putting myself out there, but it's also to just open up and have a safe, respectful forum, because sometimes people could have, based on a previous experience, and say, I agree or I don't necessarily agree, all coming from respect, but I would like to also know what people think about it. There are different ways of phrase. There's also, and I'm going to throw it out there because I absolutely love them, the Bucket List family. I don't know if you've heard about them or anything. They live right now in Hawaii, but they travel with their kids everywhere and they do extreme things. So they swim with sharks and they jump from helicopters and things like this. And they constantly open it up and say, are we good parents or not necessarily? They say like the way that we've done it works for us because we have also, it has been step by step. So when I read that, I could relate with them because I said, yes, that's how it has been for us too. But yeah, they're...
Well, very then cool. You see people like Tommy Caldwell, who's, you know, as a kid, his dad was like dragging him across these giant cliffs like pirates. Yeah. Crazy. So, you know, don't be too hard on yourself.
So, as I mentioned, we write for a blog. We have a podcast, but we also have very busy lives in addition to those things, whether it's parenthood, jobs, family, school, all these things. So I was wondering if you guys can talk a little bit about how you find time to balance all the stuff that you do that includes jobs, school, raising a child, plus writing for a blog, plus working for a podcast. So Kaysen, what do you find to be the most useful tools to balance all this out?
Well, Carrie, you haven't talked much yet.
Yes, that's what I think. It's like, we'll answer,
you need to
but
answer the question first.
I,
how do you balance your entire life and your beard?
It's really one and the same. Like, if my beard's out of whack, I know something's wrong in my life as well. So I got to get some some good beard.
What is wrong with your life right now?
Oh, no, it's a really good question. For me, I like to plan ahead. And I've been a procrastinator for most of my life, but I had to stop that. When you have deadlines and things like that, I try to stay on top. As far as our blog goes, I'd brainstorm all the time. I always try to think of new ideas. And the moment I think of a new idea, I'll just jot it down on my phone. And then I'll try to expand on it and come up with the details. I'm actually working on a piece right now. I guess you guys will have to wait to see what it's about, but I'm going to be pretty proud of it. I think it's going to be pretty good. But
what is it about?
This morning.
Can you tease?
I'll tease a little bit. There's a climber that we all know. Everybody in this room, but probably everybody listening right now knows as well, no matter where you are, all the way from, I don't know, Istanbul to Yosemite Valley. They know this person. And so there's not a lot written on this person, a true climbing legend. So I'm doing a little research into who this person is. And it should be interesting, but yeah, it should be good. But the point is, when I woke up this morning, I just pulled my computer out and started typing away. I didn't have a lot of time, but in that 15 minutes, I came up with some really, I think, useful ideas. It's kind of not yet determined if they're good ideas or not, but I'll toy with them. I don't think I have another post for maybe a month or so. So, you know, with that, then I have school, of course. I try to grade papers immediately. A lot of times my students are just like, it takes other professors the entire semester to get us one paper back, and yours are back the next class. It's just a matter of staying organized. Know what you have to do so you can get it done. And all this is on top of, I really like rock climbing. And so the quicker I can get everything that I need to get done, I can hit the wall. And at the end of the day, if I can get on the wall and have everything I needed to have done completed, I usually tend to sleep. I just tend to sleep all right.
So as a young man myself and a very good procrastinator as well, what's your advice to a younger procrastinating you who wants to transition into a more organized state of being, hypothetically?
Not saying that it will happen.
Yeah, for me, it's just a matter of being ready, right? How are you prioritizing things? What do you take to be important? And we work this out. You know, it comes to a point when you're just like, I need to get this done or I'm going to fail, and I don't want to fail. So here's how I'm going to do it. And you'll procrastinate. And I still procrastinate. We all procrastinate. And you'll procrastinate until it comes to really harm you, and you'll either learn from it or you'll continue to procrastinate. So in the end, that's a very philosophical way of saying, I don't really have like any advice to give you. It's either going to continue to go the way it is because it's working for you. It might not be working in the best way that you want it to, but you are getting what you need to get done, or it won't work for you. And if it doesn't work for you anymore, you'll change. I just think that's the way most things happen. When it stops working, you move on.
There is no try. There's only do.
Oh, I was going to say there's no try. There's only fail. But no, I like it. There's more only, uplifting.
What's the Yoda quote? There is no try. There's only do or not do.
Who's Yoda?
That's a long story. it takes what, 7 episodes to explain that.
And then so, you introduce baby Yoda.
Yeah, then that's a whole other story. Yeah. So, Highclip, how do you juggle your insane college lifestyle?
You know, it's a really difficult question. I can't really say that I juggle it the best. You know, a lot of it just kind of ends up being like, you don't sleep a lot. I'm sure y'all can relate to, but really it ends up just being priorities. So one of the things that I kind of get criticized a lot for is I spend a lot of time on like sports and climbing. And I had actually also written a post about this a while ago, but basically like the way I see it is that like if it doesn't really matter like what other people think should be a priority to you, it's really more about like what you feel is making you yourself, like what makes you. And so when you do these things, it kind of, everything else falls into place. So, you know, I might, obviously, like I have, you know, my classes and I'm going to try hard in those, but I'm also going to go climb at, you know, 6:30 to 9:30 every Wednesday or something like that, or you just kind of make commitments to yourself about what you're going to do. And it doesn't matter if I have a lab report due on Thursday, or if I have, you know, something like a game the following day or something, like I'm just going to make time for, like, I'm committing myself to do this amount of work or this sport at this time. And like, that's just going to be that. And then everything else just has to fall into place because it has to get done. So that's kind of the way I do it. But it's everything funny, works. So
it's so funny how High Cliff says, like, I don't know if I'm doing too great, but I do this thing. Okay, this is how it works. If we have a post due on Wednesday, which all our posts are due on Wednesday, Carrots and High Cliffs are done Sunday, and they schedule it to be up at 8 a.m. Kason and I were the worst, though. I have to confess it in front of you. We're putting ourselves over there, but we do it like the day before or something.
Yeah,
like,
whereas... You know,
so
Carrot and
you're doing great, Carrot and High Clip. You're the best.
Carrot and High Clip have their posts scheduled out for 8 a.m. Usually 8 a.m. is when I'm writing my blog.
To be fair.
Still quality content, though. Look, we work in the media industry, so we work better under pressure.
That's a great excuse that we can make for ourselves.
No, it's awful. Yeah, we need to do better. But it's funny because it depends on how people perceive it, how they manage their time and everything, because... High Clip saying, like, I don't know if I'm doing great, but I think she's doing amazing based on how I manage my time, which I could definitely do better. But I just graduated from college, and I was raising my son, and I was doing homework. So when High Clip says, like, you don't sleep, I haven't slept for 6 years. So I know what it means, and now we'll see if it changes. But that's the thing, because Carrot was saying, like, no worries, you're going to graduate, you will have more time. But then I'm in my mind, I'm thinking... I do worry because it's not like it's going to change from one day to another. Mm-hmm. I already have bad habits. You know what I mean? So it's just get rid of those bad habits and start new. Oh, I'm sorry. I hit you. Audience, I just hit you.
No, yeah, keep going.
So it's just a matter of to start new healthy habits. So I wouldn't be able to say... Oh, how I manage my life and everything, because up to this point, I don't even know, but I'm still here and I'm existing. So I think I'm doing good.
I mean, every time that
he's healthy and he's a nice kid. So I think we're so far so good. You were saying something, High Clip. I'm sorry.
You were right. I was saying, you know, every time I get stressed or I'm just like, I don't have time for this, I can't do it, I think to myself, Gaia is over here. A college student, a full-time, like, what's it called? Employee somewhere, you know, doing so amazingly in her classes, and then on top of that she has tea, and I'm just like, I'm doing this and she's got, you know, at least, you know, 60-80 more hours of stuff to do every week, and I'm just like, why am I stressed? Like, how does Gaia even comprehend everything?
You guys.
No, I literally think that all the time. Like, bro, you don't even have a kid. Like, chill out.
Like, chill.
It's the other day, we were at a group meeting, and I kind of threw some sass because I was so stressed out with final, like, not necessarily finals, because we have not entered the finals week, but we were close to it, and Kason was like, I'm so busy, I have so much crap to do, and I was like, add a kid to that equation, you
MF-er.
And I have no excuses. So you can see, Kason and I, we get along pretty well. we do.
So I want to talk a little bit about your guys' favorite climbing memory. So I thought we could just go around and you guys can talk about something that really kind of moved you or inspired you, or something you just look back in vivid detail. So Kason, favorite climbing memory, what do you got?
Man. There's so many really good ones. I think I'm just going to have to pick one. I don't know if this is my absolute favorite, but just we took a trip for 4 days. Like, I think it was a couple years ago now. And we hit, like, kind of all the good spots in Texas. Like, we went to Austin, Texas, and did some climbs around there. Then we went out to an Enchanted Rock and climbed out there. And it was
freezing cold the entire time. I mean, I like, and this is someone from deep South Texas who really doesn't know what freezing cold
yeah,
is.
Yeah, let me just say, being from Detroit, Michigan, it was freezing cold. It was 20s.
It was horrible. And I mean, I, at one point, and this is in Texas, it started snowing while we were climbing. Like, there was literally, I don't know if it was snow or ice, but it was cold and it was raining from the sky. And we were trying to climb and our fingers were freezing cold and, you know, trying to stay warm by the fire and failing and burning the rubber off of our shoes because we were trying to get our feet warm. And I think that's just my favorite memory of just like dirt bagging it for 4 days and doing some amazing climbs and overcoming the cold. And then on the last day when we got to Enchanted Rock and we got out of the truck early in the morning, the sun came out finally after a long time. And, you know, we started being able to finally take off some of our like thick layers and it just felt amazing. And I really think that might be my favorite climbing memory.
Yeah, I want to just jump in on that because I was trying to think of what my favorite climbing memory was as well. And that trip always comes to mind. One of my favorite things about that isn't so much the climbs. I can't even remember. Well, I remember a few, but most of the climbs I don't remember at all. But I remember that the people that we were with, not a single person complained one time. Not one of us said, oh, it's so cold. I wish I wasn't here. We just hit the wall and we pushed each other and we pushed hard and we took care of each other. Kaysen was sleeping in a hammock. Like, so when he says covered in snow, he was fully exposed the entire time. And I'm sure any of you have climbed in cold weather, you can't feel your fingers. And when you're thrown to something on, I don't know, rock, you're just cut. Your fingers are bleeding sometimes. You don't know where or why. We did light a couple of illegal fires that trip. But if I could add to that, there's a trip I took, I think it was last year. Same thing. I was with Gaia and we had
what
a group
do you mean
people.
You think last year? You don't remember?
It may have been last year.
Wasn't it memorable?
You know, sometimes these trips when you're cold, but it was the same thing. It was freezing year, yeah. Cold. We were sleeping in tents, trying to get on some rock and you make the most of it. Very similar experience to the story that Kaysen just told. And then kind of opposing that experience was this crazy trip I took with High Clip to Tennessee, I think. And High Clip and I have not climbed together at one of these old school crags where they didn't have the same system of labeling clay climbs as they do today. So you get on a 5'7" and there's like a clip maybe 15 feet off the ground. And then there's anchors 45 feet above that, where it's just like these runouts are just nasty. It was really scary. But in all the climbing trips I have, what always makes them really the favorite for me is just it's always the people and the experiences. I really don't remember all the climbs, but I do remember Gaia backpacking through a mountain or Kaysen cuddling up next to a fire eating frozen, I don't know, Indian food. Yeah. Or Holly shivering on a route because there's literally no bolts anywhere.
You're fucked up.
Or High Clip shivering on a route because there's literally no bolts anywhere. But it really is the people that stand out more than the routes, more than the climbs themselves. High Clip, what's your favorite climbing memory?
Well, I have to stay with the chilly routes. I mean, that's just, you can't beat it. And so basically we had this climbing trip for my birthday a few years or a year back, and you know, the whole crew came out, and you know, I had swimming districts that morning, and I was like, you know, like, it's time to climb, you can do it, you can get through the climb. And we got there, we camped out, and it was just so nice. And like, it was a little frosty, not gonna lie, but it just, you like carrot, like, you just can't beat the people, like, you know, that's really all that you're there for. And like, it could have been trash routes, it could have been really fun routes, and it wouldn't have mattered because, you know, all your homies are there. And but I do remember this one specific route. Some of you guys may know this route, liposuction. I remember I kind of had to get home, and, you know, it's like a 3-hour drive. And but we were like trying to get out of the park, and but then we saw lipo, and we're like, you know what, like, I kind of want to try, you know, everyone's been telling me you need to try lipo. And I was like, I don't know, man, like, it's 12A, like, it's kind of scary, and we have to go, like, this and that, like, no, like, High Clip, like, you're gonna try this route, like that's just it. And like, you know, there's like a bunch of like groups of dudes just like working this route, like, you know, Yeti yelling everything, like, you know what I mean? And so the dudes, we explain the situation, like, you know what, like you can use our draws and like we'll clean everything, like you just try and lead to where you can and like come down like when you're done. And I was like, that's actually really sweet. And so I did, and like I was really scared because like lipo is really scary. And
basically you're literally hanging upside down, like on the first part of this route, you're climbing across the roof of this giant cliff, and you're surrounded by even more cliffs where you could potentially hit your head. And it's just, it's a famous route because it's a sketchy route.
Yeah, exactly. And just to add on that, people are always watching. If you get on lipo, there's an audience there. It's like, what are they doing?
Exactly. And like, as my name implies, I do high clip a bunch, and that was terrifying on that route. But anyway, so I gotta say that's one of my favorite memories, just having all my homies just there supporting me and like having a good time in the frosty weather. Like Kara saying, that Tennessee trip was pretty great, also really scary. Yeah, I like it when there's two bolts for a 40-foot route. You know, like it really makes you feel good. But you know, like that, you just know that your belayer's got you, and like you've got you, and it's just like one of those moments where like you have to trust yourself and your friends, and like that's really what makes a good trip.
Yeah, I agree. Kaya, what do you think?
I don't know if I have a favorite climbing memory because I don't get to climb as often as they do, because once again, all the things that I've mentioned before, so I climb like thrice a year or something like that, which makes it frustrating for me, because when you start to have gains, then you stop, and then when you climb again, it's like it's so frustrating because you're starting from scratch. So I think my greatest memory, if I would have to choose one, it's not necessarily me on the wall, but me observing people on the wall. So I think we have a similar like pattern here, that it's not necessarily the experience of you doing it, but with who you are with. So same, the winter road trip that we did last winter, that was the first time that I actually started exploring photography. So it was super fun to be behind the camera and be able to capture all these moments. And it was like experiencing it through them. So you're not necessarily climbing, but because you're so involved in their climb, it feels like you're part of it as well. Also because you get to immortalize certain moments. So it was funny because they would turn around and say like, how the heck do you get there? Because I would just free solo certain parts just to get to a spot and get a picture. And I was like, I have no fucking idea, but you need to help me get down. So I think I climbed a little bit too. And I was able to find a new passion that I didn't know I have. Now I'm taking a Jimmy Chin master class. So shout out. Thank you so much. And I highly recommend it. Go Jimmy Chin. Let me be your apprentice.
He can be yours.
No, not yet.
All right. So let's just follow that up with worst climbing memory.
Carrot, what's your worst climbing memory?
Oof. Thank you, Kaysen, for throwing me off my game. You know, it's interesting, kind of like we were talking about, sometimes when you're in a moment when it's really, really cold and you're just bloody nubs and everything like this, it might feel like your worst climb. You don't realize how great it is until it's done. But we were at a spot last year, and we were just hitting some major climbing places all over the West. And we were moving from Red Rocks to Joshua Tree.
It's a trash island.
Yeah. We were going to J Tree. We were really pumped. It was a huge road trip, covered, you know, hundreds and hundreds of miles. And there was a government shutdown. And J Tree was open for most of the government shutdown, but then some looting occurred, and there's like, that's it. Like, we're done. We were driving maybe, I don't know, 8 hours, and we were an hour away, and we got the news that it's closed down. So we're like, oh, come on.
And it sucked because we were going to meet with some friends. Shout out to Lil Dev. We were going to like actually, and I was like, we won't be able to make it.
No, so we were just looking for a crag, anything to get on, anything at all. And so we went to Mountain Project, and there was just this this little area blinking with maybe three routes, but we're like, you know, we drove so far, we're gonna hit some rock. It's just wild camping at that point, so we could just set up our gear. Really, really cold, and we're driving back to the middle of nowhere. I mean, just California desert. It was scary. It's the type of scene that you would imagine from The Hills Have Eyes or something like that. It was scary. Like, I was scared. We drove back miles just on sand. And then we saw this rock covered in graffiti and spray paint. And there was just trash everywhere. It came to be known by us, at least, as Trash Island. But when I say trash, there's burnt out mattresses, like condoms everywhere. We saw like a swastika and tires and plastic. Yeah. And I had... I don't know, a soccer ball or something like that, and it rolled, and there was like needles and just human shit everywhere. It was,
oh my god,
it was gross.
We have to add that T was there with us, so you can imagine that experience. He was enjoying himself though, but we were like, "Don't walk here, don't walk there."
Yeah, don't touch anything at all. God. It was wild, and we didn't see anything. There was rocks. We didn't see anything at all until one of our friends we were with, she found anchors, and I was like, "Holy crap!"
That was me.
It was you?
Yes!
One of our friends named Gaia, who we were found anchors. And I'm telling you, like, you can't see anything. And the anchors were the same color as the rock. It was just insane. And so we're like, we are doing this route every way that you can. There was, I think, one bolt on the way up. And then we set a top rope and tried to do it in, like, as many different ways as we could. We slept in the... We had a van, a minivan. So we all slept in the van that night. We just threw our gear outside. We kept the keys in the ignition because I'm telling you,
we're so scared.
The thought was that somebody's going to come up and murder us. So whoever wakes up first, turn the van on and just go away. So we thought we were going to get murdered. And it was cold, really, really cold.
And I have to add that this was towards the end of the trip. So we smelled like shit. Oh,
literally. So we smelled all like shit.
Smelled like crap inside of that van. It was awful. And I think we got to a point where we were so used to our stench that when we came back and I was going to wash like our clothes in the washing machine, I opened it and I was like, we smelled so bad. Now I know why people in like elevators, they just left so quickly. It was awful.
It was horrible. We woke up the next day alive. And I'm not exaggerating. Somebody shot a flare over our head. And I was like, yep, time to go. Like, I felt like that was the mark. Like, that's where they are. Let's go kill them. They would have disposed of our bodies. We would have been gone. At the time, I was like, this sucks. But now I love it. It's one of my favorite climbing memories. So it's my worst and my favorite climbing memory, Kaysen. What's your worst memory?
Oh, gosh. I think probably one of my... I think definitely my worst memory... That is not one of my favorite memories now. We were at Reimers, I think it was the last or two times ago earlier in this year. And I got up this one route, and it was a route that I've been working on for a while. And I got to the top after I took a couple falls on the way up, but I felt good about what I did. And Kara was like, yeah, I'm going to try it. And
why wasn't that my worst memory?
Carrot climbed, you know, got up to about the point where I was, and you could tell he was losing a little bit of strength. Granted, he hadn't fallen yet, and so he was about to send the route, if I'm recalling correctly. And he got up to, like, the last move, and he went for a big throw, and he didn't get it, and his hand slipped off, and his heel or foot caught the rope, and he flipped upside down and just banged his head hard against the rock.
Oh, God.
And I was getting up ready to, okay, like, we're about to carry it out of here. I mean, it looked sketchy. I was thinking worst case scenario, and luckily he was okay. But that little rush of adrenaline and just like, oh, I, you know, that's not what you want to see happen.
Who was belaying that time, Caitlin or were you?
Was Kaysen? I think Kaysen was.
Was I belaying?
Yeah, because me and Katie were like chilling.
Okay, I guess I was belaying.
Yeah, you know, the thing, I thought about that for a second is maybe that's, it was a pretty gnarly fall. It was not fun. I still kind of want to count it as a send, like I topped.
Yeah, like there. Honestly.
I just didn't clip anchors before I fell. But why I kind of look at that as not a bad memory is when I hit the ground, like immediately Kaysen was there. High clip was there. They bust out the first day. They're like cleaning blood up off my head. It was just another one of those real unique experiences where you realize just how much people care about you and people in the sport care about other people. I mean, people from down the wall had to check in or came to check in on me. So it was gnarly. It was a brutal fall. But it was just another great reminder of just how compassionate people are.
And also about how like that, those inherent risks, it doesn't matter how well you're doing things. It's just a split second and then you hit yourself or something happens. That was the most scary phone call that I ever had, because I was driving and I called him. No, you called. I don't remember if I called him or he called me. And I was like, so how was the trip? It's like, well,
about that.
Yeah, I have something to tell you. I was like, oh, shit, what happened? I right away knew that something happened, but he didn't want to tell me. So it's like, nothing happened. I'm fine. You know when someone tells you that nothing happened, I'm fine, something definitely happened, and they're not necessarily fine. I was like, what happened? I said, well, I fell. What do you mean you fell? Well, I kind of fell and busted my head open. I was like, oh, motherfucker. So I drove straight to his house to check that if everything was okay, and you were pooped. He was pooped, but I was so glad to know that you were fine. So again, that says a lot about the community and your friends and everything that you know you can rely on.
Yeah, definitely.
So like, I've got a question. So like, and I'd like to ask Highclip this question. So like, with lots of sports, like I just find it interesting that Carrot here has kind of taken every bad situation that's kind of happened with climbing and said, well, actually, I mean, really, that was just a great memory. And I wonder, like, what is that about humans in general, but also about climbers who, like, why is it that we tend to take, like you took that cold, freezing cold memory as one of your favorite. It's like, it's kind of like these hardships, these things that might make it hard in the moment end up being, like, one of the best memories. Like, why do you think that is? And then since you play so many other sports, like, I feel like it might not be as much of the same in other sports, because it's like, oh, well, our team lost. It was the worst day ever. You know what I mean? Like, can you talk a little bit about that, like, dynamic?
Sure. Actually, I found for me, it's like the same in all my sports. So like in swimming, you know, like when I was going against like the fastest swimmer, like it was my best race. Like I would always, or I'd crank it out for the relay and it was just so fun. Or like basketball or soccer, we'd go against like this crazy hard team. Maybe they were like, you know, fouling left and right or really aggressive or something. But like just you like giving it your all is just like really all that counted. And like, really just any sport that I'm playing, like it's just when you're just trying so hard and like it doesn't even matter if you lose. Like for example, there's this one team, this DC team that we used to play in soccer, and we play them about once a year, and they were just like incredible. Like everyone was huge, like huge girls, and like they were so good and so powerful, and like our team, like, you know, like we were not the most reliable, and like, you know, like we would lose about 12-0 every year, maybe 12-1 if we were really, really lucky, which in soccer is a huge, huge difference. But anyway, that was my favorite game to play every year, because like you just, you get, you know, smashed, but like you're trying so hard and like you get to challenge yourself, and like the easy wins, like they're just not fun. Like there's no challenge. Like you're just not really pushing your limits. And like with climbing, you know, like, no one, like, you're not going to remember that 5-5 you did that was just like really easily, like, well protected and like just juggled. Like, that's not interesting. But, like, yeah, I'm going to remember that 5-12. Like, that, you know, that's really cool. Like, you're pushing yourself. And, like, even if you're getting hurt or like this and that, like, it's still something to remember. And I feel like climbers, especially, really kind of, it kind of sounds weird, but I feel like they really enjoy the pain in a lot of ways. I mean, like when you're climbing, you're literally shredding your fingers to go up a route. You're just going to come down. Like you're not doing it to stay out of pain. Like, you know what I mean? I feel like they just like the grind, and like, that's just fun. And like the challenge is fun. And like, again, like you're not climbing if you don't enjoy challenges. So, if that answers your question, I think that's why, everyone likes challenging or hard memories, is just because it's different. And that's, I feel like that's why you exist, is to be challenged and to learn. I'm not really sure why else you would do anything.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. And I also want to throw in a little bit of a asterisk. I don't know if that's the right word, but essentially, I am extremely biased towards climbing. So yeah, I just want to throw that out there and apologize if I've offended anyone of any other denomination of sport that you adhere to.
Blind ball followers.
You used to play football, right? American
yeah, I
football.
Used to play football, and I wouldn't say I quit, but I stopped playing football my senior year of high school. Well, actually, so I played 8 years of tackle football in Texas, and if you're not from Texas, like, football is just a really big deal here. Like, if you play football, you're basically worshipped as a god in Texas. And I played through my junior year, and then so like after the season was over, I made the decision that I wasn't going to play another year. So I didn't technically like quit like in the middle of the season, you know, but I just told them, hey, like, I don't want to come back for another season. And because it's kind of such a big deal in Texas, I lost many of the friends that I had at that high school at the time. And luckily that was when I started climbing, and so was able to kind of find another new community. And that's kind of part of why I think I'm so biased towards climbers rather than other sports. So I want to apologize and warn you of that bias for future mistakes that I make.
Let me turn to a couple questions from Instagram. One came actually from our friend Cody over at Mama Dirtbag.
Yay, Mama Dirtbag.
She asked, what is your deepest fear and how will you overcome it? How will you work to overcome it?
Can I start?
Gaia, start.
Can I answer? Because that what is it, 3 or 4 days ago? I don't remember because I always lose track of time and I get lost in the calendar. But not too long ago, we went climbing to Cypress, which is a gym from Inspired Rock, and it's over there and it's way bigger. Or the walls are higher, taller. I don't know how you properly say it, but holy shit. Once again, I don't climb very often. I wish I did, but I don't. So I'm out of shape all of the time. So if you ever hear me say I'm out of shape, that's, I think, my permanent state. I was so terrified because I'm used to, and you plug in the height because I don't know. What's a regular height of the ones that we climb at?
We're probably usually,
60?
No, normally we're at like what, 35?
Yeah. And 40. Those over there,
those
what?
Are 60, 65?
So double of what? Okay. So I'm used to climbing the not that high one. So I know that I burn out quickly. I don't have that endurance. I like the twisty moves and everything, but I don't have the endurance. So Carrot was like, okay, now you go and leap that one. I was like, hell no, I'm not gonna do that. It's like, yeah, you can do it. I said, I'm not gonna do that. I felt like crying. I started like having a low-key panic attack because I said, I'm not only, and this is the thing with sports in general, and I would plug them in with extreme sports because it's the experience that I have. When people say I'm out of shape, it's not necessarily physically, there's also a mental component. You're not only out of shape physically, but also mentally. There's, at least that's my experience, there's a mental component that needs to be taken into account into that equation. And I hadn't climbed in a while, and not, at least not the same pace that High Clip and Carrot do. So I was petrified, and I think my biggest fear is that, because I know that I'm not physically there yet, then my mind fails me. And you're the philosopher, so you're gonna say that that's bullshit and that's not a real thing, but that's how I experience it. So it fails me, and I know that even when I do the 30 feet one, I know once I get to the top I'm pooped. Yeah. So if that would be double that, then midway I would be pooped and I would freak out. So I think that's my biggest fear, just being able to be there both mentally and physically and trust myself. And I think it's a trust issue that I have to overcome, and that comes with strengthening myself physically and then thereafter incorporating the mental aspect to it. So I think that's my biggest weakness. And
so Carrot, as a philosopher, I'd be interested to know, like, everyone kind of deals with fear every now and then, whether you haven't been climbing for a while and you're just getting back onto the wall and maybe you're a little bit sketched out by lead, or maybe you're just having a little bit of a rough day and you're a little bit of sketched out on a route, maybe a little bit fearful. As a philosopher, would you say that you work through your fears differently than most other people? Like, what is your process for working through fear? Like, are you like trying to logically convince yourself, oh, you don't need to be afraid? Or are you like trying to control your emotions? I'd just be interested to know.
Oh, that's a really good question. I think Gaia is right in kind of how she described it. So there's a route that I'm working right now, and it's just this really, really bad crimp on an overhanging roof that you have to clip off of, or you're just going to whip. And I've been working it for a little while. The first time I got on, I sailed right through it. It was fine. I thought it was neat. The route wasn't graded yet. I thought it was easy, so I just sailed right through it. Then I found out it wasn't easy where I came off. And the next time I got on there, I was shaking on this crimp, and I started thinking about it, and then I fell off. And I don't know if I would call that fear necessarily, but there was definitely a change in perspective. And so it wasn't really until I got back on the ground that I tried to analyze, all right, what's the difference between the first time you did it and the second time you did it? And going again back to what Gaia said, it was just a matter of trust, right? Trusting, one, my belayer, trusting the equipment that I'm using, trusting my skill. And so when you have trust in what you're doing, the fear starts to go away. You sometimes look at fear as maybe, I don't want to say irrational, but at least non-rational. It wasn't doing anything to serve it, and I wasn't going to get hurt. And so I haven't gotten back on that route, but maybe today I'll get on it and we'll see how it goes. But yeah, I think it's just a matter of talking yourself down a little bit and putting a little bit of reason to the fears that we have. And that probably goes with anything, whether it's a noise that you hear after watching a scary movie. I don't watch scary movies, but I imagine sometimes
for that reason
hear noises and are scared. But if you hear that noise on any other day, it's just a noise, right? You kind of identify to it. But yeah, Kaysen, let's throw it back to you. What's your fear right now, and what are you working on to overcome it?
Man, I think one of my biggest fears is not being able to like accomplish the things that I want to accomplish, and I think that's like kind of a fear of failure. And I think it relates back to climbing a lot, because I think a lot of times we find ourselves like in that moment of, oh yeah, you should go jump on that lead route, and you're like, I'd rather stick to a 5.9 right now. And it might be because you're afraid of falling. But more likely, I think it's because you're not really afraid of the physical aspect of falling, but the mental aspect of falling in it. And I think that that it definitely hits home for me. I think I have a hard time staying positive about like my own like physical ability, especially if I'm out of shape, especially if I haven't climbed in a long time. And so I think working on that is ultimately going to be very important for life as a whole, because failure is kind of a part of life, and climbing is definitely a great like incubator like to practice it.
Well put.
Yeah.
Hi Cliff, what do you think?
This may sound kind of silly, but I have a really huge fear of spiders.
You and T.
You can relate.
I don't think, like, when people say they're afraid of spiders, like, oh, like, you know, like, you scream, like, you kind of run away. Like, no, like, I'm, like, deathly afraid of spiders to the point where, like, I cannot function if I see a spider, if I think about a spider. Like, I'll freak out and, like, I don't know how to work through that. I've tried, like, I'll still like put spiders in a cup, take them outside if they're in my house or something, but like I'm still really not sure how to work through it because I just can't even handle the thought of them. So if you have any ideas on how to work through huge spider fears, just let me know.
Comment below.
DM any media is fine. Yeah, it's really bad, but I guess for climbing, I have a really hard time trusting my belayer and myself. Again, I high clip a lot because I'm scared, but it takes me a really long time to trust belayers. I guess this is also one of my worst climb memories. It was like my first week climbing, and I was like, or sorry, first week lead climbing. And I was like, oh, like, you know, I'm really good, you know, at lead climbing. Like, I got this. Like, nothing is going to be too hard for me, right? And so I get on this 9 and it's like overhanging, and I'm like, psh, jugs, like any day, buddy. You know what I mean? And so there's this dude like I've never met before. I kind of saw him around, but I was like, you know, like, he's my friend's friend. Like, surely he can blame me. Like, I want to lead climb. And what happened was I was like getting kind of pumped, and like, the clips were weird, and I guess I never noticed my leg was entirely behind the rope, but it was. And so eventually I just pumped out and fell, and that, you know, you fall upside down, you slam into the wall, and like that was just not a pleasant experience. And you know, you get really bad rope burn, this and that, and like it's just really hard to trust people. And you know, like I just got dropped the other day, and like it's just really, it's really hard. Like it takes me like months to trust people. Once I do, like I don't know, for me I guess it's just like practice with people, and like you start small with like eights and nines, then maybe like, all right, catch me on a 10D, and I was like, all right, catch me on 11N, you know what I mean? Just like work up the grades. But it's really, I guess it's just a time thing. But also, if you have advice on that, you know, just send it my way, because I'm still working on it.
Let me stick to another Instagram question. Hacklip, maybe you can start off this time. What would be your dream Craig food?
Oh, yeah, Carrot knows I'm a foodie. Dream Craig food? I mean, it has to have bread, because, I mean, bread is the superior food. I don't know. I guess, like, oh, here's what I do. You get some, like, nice, like, multi-grain, like, seedy bread, right? It's, like, soft and, like, squishy, but, like, not too squishy. And then, like, you have, like, some refried beans. Yes. And preferably open the can before you go to the crag, because like you're not trying to bring a can opener with you. So so you take your refried beans with you, and then what you do is you like kind of spread it on the bread and make like a dirtbag taco similar to the SpaghettiOs taco that you guys had for the winter road trip, but refried beans, because they're amazing. You get some carbs, you get some protein, you got some, I mean, it's mostly brown, but there's still like a little bit of color in there. You could bring some spinach or something, like that would be nice. And like, it just never fails, because like bread's not going to like go bad. The beans aren't going to go anywhere. Like, it's just like, it's a perfect crag food. So that's where I'm at.
So let's be honest here. So Hyclip's dream food is bread and beans.
Yeah.
That's her problem dream with that crag case. Food. That's the best thing she can imagine.
Okay, some spinach too. Okay.
I have a really good food memory, crag food memory. I did my first multi pitch. Shout out to Lucas from Inspire Rock for showing me how to multi pitch and taking me climbing with him that weekend.
Not for the food though. He didn't.
No, I brought the food. So
shout out to yourself.
Shout out to myself for bringing the food. So after we got over the climb, it was again a really cold morning, and it was a tough climb, and we had lots of mistakes and lots of lessons learned. Most of them were made by me. But once we got over the top of Enchanted Rock where we were climbing, it was an amazing feeling. And we kind of just walked straight down to our car, and I had some bread and avocados. And if any of you have ever had Tony's Creole seasoning, shout out to Tony for making the best Creole seasoning ever. I think I told Carrot about this, right, Carrot?
Yeah, you taught me about it, and I'm sold. Hooked.
Carrot is from Michigan, and he came down here and had no idea what Tony was all about. And Tony makes some mean Creole seasoning, so
I agree. You
should try it.
Have that.
Like, it's very
you
don't high in sodium, food. Though.
Yeah, that's true.
Because I tried, and I think I had a kidney stone there.
So basically, I had went home to my parents' house that week before I went climbing there, and I poured some of their Creole seasoning into a little baggie, like just a little clear plastic baggie, just full of Creole. I mean, clear reusable baggie full of Creole seasoning. And we went out and just made some avocado toast, sprinkled some of that Creole seasoning on, and that's enjoyed a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful avocado toast breakfast after our morning terrifying 350-foot climb.
I want to note that bread was also a part of this dream. So just let that be known.
So my dream food, I think, would be probably, I would have a chef, you know, out at the crag.
All right. I like your dreams. You know,
and he would probably be cooking me some sort of like, you know, basically I'm saying we'll have Lauren there, and she can make me that same exact curry she made me at the last camping trip that we went to.
Yeah, just as a point of reference, Lauren is the type of person that makes dream foods come true.
Like, yeah.
She's the person who's baking before the climbing trip. And just
like ready to go. She brings it all ready to go. You just set the whatever thing she has it in on top of the fire, and in an hour you'll have
amazing curry.
Also,
dinner.
We have to point out that Lauren doesn't use plastic bags.
Shout out to Lauren. She is the best. Yeah. Yes. Hands down.
Gaia, what do you got? Another foodie, by the way. Gaia goes hard on food.
Oh, can I? I just want to say one more quick, too. Yeah. I'm the only meat eater in this group. Everyone else is a vegetarian. And so, you know.
You did good, though.
I just think that's avocado. Interesting. Yeah, well, both of my dream foods were vegan, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Thanks. Making gains, moving up case. The world.
Favorite crack food? Okay, is it bad if I just choose sweets?
This is your dream.
I love sweets. Whenever we go out to eat, I always look at the dessert menu first. I don't care about the food.
Whenever Guy is mad at me, if Guy is mad at me because I missed a blog or something, like this morning I just brought her donuts. I mean, that's my tactic. Just bring her sweets.
Gummy worms.
Yes. We once went, whatever Caitlin makes. Caitlin's one of our friends that she went to the winter road trip with us and everything, and she's a foodie too. Whatever she says, listen to her. Go eat wherever she says, etc. Oh no. So I would bring one of those, I don't remember the name of this taco truck in Austin, Mestizos. I think it's Mestizos or Mellizos. I don't know whether tacos are so good. So they have mushrooms, so if you don't like mushrooms, you're fucked, but they're so good. I must point out that T is not here. Shout out to my aunt that's looking after him right now. But they're so good, and it has, like, I don't know, a red pepper aioli there, and it also has some onions, and it's so good, and I absolutely love it. And then I would also bring those Rolos things that Caitlin makes. So she grabs Ritz crackers and then the Rolo candy that I didn't know it existed. That's how it's called, right?
Yeah.
So shout out to Rolo.
Yeah, shout out to Rolo.
Not a sponsor.
Rolo and Ritz.
She bakes them, and I don't know what she did. They're so good. And then her mom makes some Muddy Buddies. Muddy Buddies?
So good.
Mm. Oh, my God. So you can imagine how many pounds we gained during that winter road trip.
We got Rolos.
So the taco truck is pulling out to the crag.
There it is.
It's so good. It's so good, and it's also so convenient because we live in Texas. It's flat unless you drive a couple of hours to go to like Waco and all of these fun places. So we go to Austin to climb, and it's so nice because the crag is not too far away from the actual center of the city. So the food. So we go climb, and then so we glamp in a sense, because then we climb, and then at night we're like, we don't feel like eating the shitty, not dreamy food that we brought. Let's just go drive 30 minutes, and then we're in the city, and then we can eat all these delicious taco trucks. No, we're not eating the trucks. We're eating the food inside of the truck.
Carrot, you're also in love with food, and I really want to know what you think about.
Besides carrots.
Yes. Don't cannibalize your
carrots, right?
Folk. So, I'm not like on their level of food. Kaysen literally showed up with like 4 dozen donuts, and there's just crumbs on all the equipment right now. But Highcliff and I went to a party that was mostly climbers. Not, I don't know, it was a while ago. And both of us are vegetarians, and it was, again, a party. It was in Texas, and there was a lot of meat there, and so we had to sort of be creative with what we were going to eat. So there was, like, I don't know what it was, maybe pudding or something like that.
It was lemon pudding slash dip.
Yeah, it was like lemon pudding. And so
wait, lemon pudding slash dip, explain
right.
That.
So I think there was like a base of maybe pretzels and whipped cream and then lemon pudding.
First of all, it
top.
Was blonde Oreos.
Oh, blonde Oreos. Exactly. There you go. So people had like chips and salsa and things like that in there, and that wasn't really cutting it for Highcliff and myself. So I think we found wheat thins and we started dipping them in the lemon pudding dip. It sounds horrible. I'm telling you, this was, I imagine it was something like when a quick draw met a dog bone, something like that in climbing terms. It was a match made in heaven. That's my dream food.
That's lemon your dream food? Are you kidding
and
me?
Wheat thins. I
tried to recreate it for my own party, and it didn't happen.
Yeah, we need a, like a.
We just need
Oh, that's what you were trying to... No.
Yeah, it didn't work out so well, but I just want you to know it had potential.
Yeah, I'd say Tony Sachs is up there. I mean, this is just talking like, let's keep our packs light. I mean, if we can bring a food truck, we're bringing food trucks, but Tony Sachs and lemon dip.
Amazing. And Wheat Thins, because they're a superior cracker.
And bread.
Exactly.
So I want to wrap up a little bit, but I just want to see if you guys... have any like cool things going on in your life or going on in climbing that you want to talk about and things that you're interested in watching or doing or any goals for the upcoming months or weeks?
I just graduated from college, so I hope that I get back in shape. Yay! Oh, crap. I just hit Karen with his mic. I'm so sorry. So hope getting back in shape and whatever getting back in shape means. I think it's getting back in mental shape, physical shape, life shape, because my room is a mess. I haven't done laundry in a while, so my legs are hairy and everything included. So I have neglected every single aspect of my life except my son, of course, my baby, and my studies. So yes, and I hope getting back in climbing shape is included in that. So I think so. Very, very generic, because you can't predict life.
So. What about you, Carrot?
Ooh, Kaysen, I love how you throw it back at me. I'm just like waiting to go around the circle and it just throws right back my way. I'm excited really about what we're doing. I have a blast like working with these three, and I like watching us grow, and I really love when we get a chance to interact with you guys. So I hope over, I don't know, the next short amount of time we can continue to do this, go hard, create good quality content. I hope to hit the rocks a lot, and please, if you guys ever want to climb, like, reach out to us. Yeah. Like, we'll travel. We'll go meet you.
That would be
at
so
your
fun.
Spot. So hopefully,
as long as you
continue.
Let us sleep on your couch.
Yeah, you gotta give us a couch,
or give us warm food,
or a food truck.
Yeah, have puppies, maybe.
Lemon dip doesn't hurt at all. So I hope we get to keep doing what we're doing, keep making new connections and making new friends along the way. Kaysen, throwing it your way.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. I mean, I would love for in this year 2020. That we're in, it's going to be a whole new year for the dihedral. I mean, I want to create more interaction with you guys, with the listeners as we're continuing this podcast. And I would love to hear from you guys on the blog. You can go check it out, thedihedral.com. Go leave us a comment on any of our blogs. We respond to all of them. What about you, Highclip?
I pretty much the same thing, more interaction and just maybe having like a better handle on all of the things that I'm doing and like just making everything better, and then hopefully make it to nationals again. That'd be pretty great. So hopefully that will pull through.
No spiders.
No. Yeah, maybe getting over spider fears. That would be cool. More outdoor trips. I have lots of plans. You guys will see. So we will work on that and scheme it out, and hopefully seeing lots of puppies along the way.
Go puppies.
Awesome. Well, guys, thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed this special edition of the podcast. And please, like, let us know if you like these podcasts where it's kind of just us without a guest, just hanging out and, shooting the breeze.
Stay tuned.
Bye. Thank you.
Awesome. That's it, guys. Thank you.